Thank you for sharing. Beautiful, beautiful song.
Let them see you in me.
Isn't that what Christianity is all about, brothers and sisters? Letting Jesus shine through us, in us. Thank you for sharing. And Anansi Bey, thank you also for scripture reading. And we will continue by God's grace to share the word of God. Amen? What an opportunity. I have the privilege at this moment to invite two young men to share with you, to walk with you, to study with you starting today. We don't know for how long, but God knows. And so I would like to invite Ben to come up and also Hermain to come up. These are two Bible workers, brothers and sisters, that we will be having for several months here at our church. And as you know, our Bible workers have always been a blessing to our church. So we thank God again for the opportunity to have two young men who are going to study with you. Amen. They are going to visit with you. They are going to encourage our young people. Can I see the hands of our young people here, please? Yes, all right. And so, again, they are here to serve this congregation, and we also are here to serve them. Amen? And so what a privilege to have these young men of God who have received a call to share. And I don't know if you have a few words you want to share with us. Okay.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath, church. We are stoked. We're excited to be in this church. Do you guys remember CJ?
Yes.
Yes. I was supposed to be in his place when he came. But funny thing, something happened. He got switched out in my place. I ended up going to El Centro. But God's providence is amazing. I ended up back here somehow again. And we know that God has something in store for us. And we are excited. Ben and I are excited to serve this church. And we're excited to see how God leads us. Thank you for having us.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Something that I was wanting to share during our announcement time also is that next Sabbath, we have Religious Liberty Sabbath. And it's a special Sabbath, I believe, for our church. We have the privilege of living in a country where we have religious freedom, where we can come and worship God according to the dictates of our conscience. But this is not something everyone enjoys. And so through Religious Liberty, we make people conscious about what is it that is needed in order for us to worship freely our God. And next Sabbath, again, we'll be sharing a little more about it. And Curtis Brownlow is our Religious Liberty Director. And so again, we thank him for the work that he's doing, and he'll be sharing also next week with us a little more. Amanda McGee, as it was mentioned, she will be going to Florida, and we will be praying for Amanda. Amen? She has received a call to go and serve her country in Florida. She's been here at Camp Pendleton for several years, and she's been coming to our church for a long time. So praise God for that. And as she goes to Florida, we will be asking God to lead and guide in her life and also to be a witness of Jesus' love to others. The message that I would like to share with you today is the living God is among you. Do we serve a living God? Amen. We serve a living God, not a God of wood or stone or metals. We serve a living God, a God who sees and who listens and who walks with us. A God who cares about what you care about. A God who has the best interest in seeing you succeed in all that you do. And I know that sometimes moving is not something that we enjoy. How many of you enjoy moving? No hands? Wow, I must be the only one who kind of enjoys moving. I moved every 3 years. My dad, a pastor, so I'm a PK. Every 3 years, it was the norm to move from one city to another, from one state to another, and in some cases, from one country to another. Yes, it was hard every time I heard the word, we're moving. Wow, I said, but Dad, my teacher, she still lives here, and my friends, they still live here. Dad would say, you'll make new friends, okay? You'll have a new teacher. I'd say, okay. And so, again, not something easy, but I can still remember that when I would go to a new school and walk in there, I'd see all these faces looking at me, and I would look back at them, and it was kind of exciting. A little awkward at times, maybe strange. I felt a little uncertain, but exciting to meet new people and to live in a new place and to experience what God would do through me and through others. Amen? And when it comes to moving, the Bible talks about the children of Israel moving to a new land. The promised land, it's called. A land where honey and milk flow. A land where God had set apart from the beginning for his servant Abraham, for his servant Isaac, for his servant Jacob, for his children, the children of Israel. A place where they were going to live and enjoy rest and peace. Do we want rest and peace, brothers and sisters? Amen. Sometimes it feels like we are living in a land where milk and honey flow. Amen? Yes? But then we turn on the TV and all of a sudden we find out that things are happening just around the corner. We're going like, whoa, wait a second. What kind of a place is this? And we are awakened to the reality of the dangers that are just around us. And God tells us in his word that we will have trials. We will have tribulations. But he's also promised that he will be with us. He will be with us. I want to show you a map of where the children of Israel were going. This is the city of Jericho. This is the Jordan River. And the children of Israel were here camping on this side where the Amorites lived, the Moabites, the Edomites. And on the other side, you had all these other nations, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, all living on the other side. Were they happy that the children of Israel were coming over? They were not happy. In fact, they had built cities with big walls like the city of Jericho. We have this other map. Here we have Gilgal. This is where they crossed over and they camped there. But right now in our story, in the book of Joshua chapter 3, they're on this side of the Jordan, on the eastern side of the Jordan. They're camping, waiting for God to tell them when to move forward. Is it important that we wait for God to tell us when to move forward? It's important. It's extremely important. A lot of times, I am ready to move forward. And God says, no, wait. Sometimes I don't want to move forward. And God says what? Move. And this is when it's important for us to be obedient. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Book of Joshua chapter 3. Last week we saw Joshua chapter 1. And there God told Joshua to be strong and courageous. And to do all that he would tell him and the people of Israel to do. To follow the book of the law. To live according to the will of God. And in Joshua chapter 2, we have two spies that are sent out to the city of Jericho to spy out the land, to find out what needs to be done. And they came back and gave a report to Joshua, a report that we find in Joshua chapter 2, verse 24. And this is what they reported to God's servant. And they said to Joshua, "Truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us." In other words, these two men are reporting back to Joshua, telling them, "Joshua, we really don't have anything to worry about. Nothing? Nothing. They are afraid of us. They'll probably just run from us." That gave Joshua courage. He was someone who needed a lot of encouragement. Amen? Do you need encouragement today, brothers and sisters? I pray to God that he will encourage you today with whatever you are facing. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1 tells us the following. Then Joshua rose early in the morning. How many of you are early risers? All right. I'm an early riser. My wife, Carolina, is not an early riser. So I have to be very careful when I get up. And I'm excited to see the light and ready to do something. I got to be very quiet. Joshua was an early riser. And I believe the Bible tells us this because it also tells us in another three verses here in the book of Joshua. It appears three more times, this phrase, and Joshua rose early in the morning. And I believe there was a purpose for this. He rose up to study God's word. Amen? He woke up to be in communion with God. That was his first and most important task, and he did not want to miss out. So Joshua would, again, rise up early in the morning, and it tells us that then they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. They moved from time to time, but here, just before they crossed over the Jordan, they specifically stayed in this area. It seems like they were coming out of a wooded area with a lot of acacia trees, these hard, tall trees that produce wood close to the Jordan. What we'll see in Joshua chapter 3 are the voices of several people. You'll hear the voice of officers speaking to the people. You'll hear the voice of God speaking to Joshua. You'll hear the voice of Joshua speaking to the people. And I don't know if you've ever experienced something like that. When a lot of people are talking at the same time. Have you experienced something like that? Yes, I see a lot of my Hispanic brothers and sisters saying yes. Cubans. Anybody know any Cubans? Yes? Okay. They can talk with their hands, and they can talk over anybody else. And if you're in a room with four or five, six of them, they're all talking at the same time, and it gets louder and louder and louder. And you might think nobody's understanding a thing. Confusion. Chaos. But we are communicating. Amen? We're communicating. We're listening to each other. We're sharing something very important. And Joshua chapter 3 has a little bit of this. It has the voice of the officers. It has the voice of God. It has the voice of Joshua. And it might seem like there's a lot going on. Well, yes, there was a lot going on. Joshua had said to the people of Israel, in 3 days, we're moving. In what? In 3 days, we're moving. If I told you we're going hiking in 3 days, would you be ready? Probably you would just grab, you know, a little bag, put it in your shoes, your change of clothes, something like that. But if I told you in 3 days we're moving, but everything from your home, what would you say? Pastor Sam, you are crazy. It takes time to move, to pack, to organize. But was Joshua here just speaking on his own, or had God told him to tell this to the people? Joshua was speaking on behalf of God, and God had said in 3 days, and the people were to prepare for this important event. Let's hear what the commanders tell the people, okay? Verse 3, and they commanded the people, the officers, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, that is, carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Who were the people of God supposed to follow? Were they supposed to follow Joshua? Were they supposed to follow the officers? Who were they supposed to follow? The Ark of the Covenant. They were supposed to follow God. That's right. God was there. Brothers and sisters, how do you and I make decisions? Is God going before us? If he is, we have nothing to fear. Nothing. If God is telling us, move, we should not be afraid to move. If God is telling us, stay, we should not be afraid to stay. Whatever God plans to do, it is for our own best interest. Do you believe that? That's what the officers were telling the people. God will move before us, move. But if he tells us not to move, let's stay. Verse 4 tells us something else that he added. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. I believe 2,000 cubits is about 3,000 feet. And 3,000 feet is about half a mile. So there was a pretty big distance between the Ark of the Covenant and the people. Yes? Why do you think God wanted that distance? Is it because he doesn't want to be close to us? Can a God who lives in heaven, who has his throne above the stars, is he a God who wants to live close to us? Is he a God who wants to live in us? He is. But I think something important that he also wants us to acknowledge as his creation is that he is God. He is the King of the universe. He is the one who we owe everything. Respect, honor, and glory all go to God. And he was telling his people, I will go ahead of you. I will move ahead of you. But remember who I am. I'm someone who's special, who loves you, who cares about you, and wants to see you succeed. These officers said, do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way before. Look at it, where it's headed. Follow it, but make sure you keep your distance, and everything will be okay. These were the instructions the officers gave to the people. Now let's see the instructions that Joshua gave to the people. Verse 5, Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves. Is that important? And I asked the question as I was reading this, how can I, a sinful person, sanctify myself? Is there anything that I can do to be holy? Is there something God can do so that I am holy? God can do something. And he's promised to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Amen? He's promised to give to those who ask. And can we ask every day? Does God get tired of us asking him every day? Parents, do you guys get tired of when your children are asking you for food, for clothes? Do you get tired of that? No. You're like, yes, let me share with you what I have. You're happy. And that's the kind of God that we have, a God who is willing and able to sanctify his people. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Do we serve a wonderful God? Is there anything impossible for our God? Nothing's impossible. Can he transform us, change us, cleanse us? I believe these are the wonderful things that God wants to do in us. And thank you, Anna, for special music, because he wants to recreate his image in us. Amen? He wants to let Jesus shine through us. Joshua spoke to the priest specifically in verse 6, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. These were the instructions that Joshua gave to the people and to the priests. But verse 7 tells us now God speaks. The Lord speaks. And this is what he said to Joshua. This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel. Praise God that we don't have to exalt ourselves. Amen? Who can exalt us? Who can make us great? Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called what, brothers and sisters? Sons and daughters of God. Sons and daughters of the King of the universe. And here God is telling Joshua, don't worry, Joshua. And this is what he says, I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Joshua had some big shoes to fill in. Moses had led the people of Israel for 40 years. Great miracles had been done by Moses. Everyone looked up to Moses. But now Moses was gone. And now Joshua had the big task of taking the children of Israel across the Jordan. And how would he do this? The Bible tells us again that God told Joshua, I am with you. Just like I was with Moses, I will be with you. Don't be afraid. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Is God with us today, brothers and sisters? This week, was God with you? This month so far, has God been with you? Was he with you during 2017? Amen. That is the God we serve. A God who wants to be with his people. If we will let him. If we will invite him into our heart. If we will let his Holy Spirit to dwell in us. God told Joshua to command the priests also to bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. Now, the Jordan was not this little river that only got up to your ankle and that was as high as it went, and you walked in and said, wow, this is nice. The Jordan was flowing. It had lots of water. Have you ever been to one of those rivers? Nice and wide with lots of water flowing through. And if somebody told you, go and stand in the middle, and stand there, we might think, how in the world? But did God have a plan? He had an amazing plan. I'm sure Joshua was thinking, okay, I'll tell them. Will they do it? We'll see. But the obedience of the priests, the people were dependent on those Levites obeying God's word. Amen? I believe that God's people today are also dependent on God's men, women, who minister God's people to be obedient. Did you hear that, church? Does God's people depend on Pastor Sam being obedient to God's word? If I'm disobedient, does that affect you? If I am obedient by God's grace, does that benefit you? It does. And here the Levites had a big task. They were to cross the Jordan River. They were to stand in the middle of it. And it wasn't Joshua who came up with this plan, but it was God himself. I want to share a slide from Steps to Christ. It says, but even here Christians may have the joy of communion with Christ. What does this say? Where can we have communion with Christ, brothers and sisters? Here, now. Just like Joshua took time in the morning to have communion with God. Just like Joshua told the people to sanctify themselves. But even here, Christians may have the joy of communion with Christ. They may have the light of his love, the perpetual comfort of his presence. Every step in life may bring us closer to Jesus, may give us a deeper experience of his love, and may bring us one step near to the blessed home of peace. Is that something you and I are experiencing today? Amen? Do we serve a God who is alive? We do. We serve a living God who wants to bless us and wants us to have a deeper experience of his love. And this is where I believe God is calling us today to also experience this. Verse 9 tells us that Joshua again speaks to the children. I know this is kind of thinking one speaks, the other speaks, the other speaks. A little bit of tension here, but it will all make sense at the end, okay? So bear with me. Verse 9 tells us, Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. Come where? Come here. Why do you and I come here? To hear what? Pastor Sam? I hope you don't come here to hear Pastor Sam. Do you come here to hear Dan do Sabbath school? I hope you don't come here to hear Dan do Sabbath school. I hope you come here to hear the word of the Lord that speaks to us, to me, to you, directly, every time we open the word of God. Can we hear the word of God from other people? Amen, we can. We heard Joshua here speaking the word of God to the people of Israel. And so he comes and tells them, come, hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanite and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Who will drive them out, brothers and sisters? Joshua? The army of men? God is the one who drives them out. He is the living God who is among you. Can people see our God? Can people see Jesus in us? How does this work? I think the only way this works is if we behold Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Amen? If we read his commandments, if we study his word, if we follow his commandments, and we're obedient to him. I think more than ever, our world is needing to see a change. I think of what I see when I look at the news. Does that sadden you? Does it break your heart? Does it make you think, why, Jesus, are you taking so long? Why do we have to experience so much suffering and pain and hurt? Is it that God might be waiting for you and I to reflect him even more so? And let our neighbors know that there is a God who cares. There is a God who wants to see us succeed. There is a God who wants to bring us home. Then let us not cast away our confidence, but have firm assurance, firmer than ever before. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us, and he will help us to the end. The word of God speaking to you, to me. God has been with us until now. And he has promised to be with us all the way until the end. Joshua continued telling the priests, or the people of God actually, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you in the Jordan. Praise God that he's not only the God of the Israelites. Praise God that he's not only the God of the Americans. Amen? Praise God that he's not only the God of the Koreans, but God is the God of the entire earth. And he was telling the children of Israel, go. He is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Continuing on with verse 12 tells us, now, therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. It mentions these 12 men, and then it's until chapter 4 of the book of Joshua that it tells us what these 12 men did. Does anybody remember what these 12 men did? They were supposed to carry stones. When the priests came up to the water and their feet were dipped in the Jordan River, and that Jordan River was flowing strongly. The Jordan River divided basically in one half that stood still. The other half continued flowing. And all of a sudden, there was this dry land in the midst of this flowing river. And the priest walked in all the way until the middle. They stood there. And in chapter 4, it tells us that Joshua told these 12 men to bring out stones, to put it on the edge, on the western side of the Jordan, as a memorial. As what? As a memorial. So that when the children of Israel would tell their parents, what are these stones? The children would tell the parents would tell their children, these stones were brought out of the midst of the Jordan River when the Almighty God helped us to come into the promised land. And 12 stones they were also to gather and put right where the priests were standing. And I can imagine when the river would come down and people would see those 12 stones right there in the middle of the river and say, what are those 12 stones? Again, a memorial of the great things that God does for his children. Are there memorials in your life? Are there things that you can look back to and say, wow, God was with me here. God helped me in my hour of need. God protected me from danger. God healed me from this sickness. God took care of my children. God took care of me. Do you have memorials like that, brothers and sisters, where you can look back and say, God was with me. And if God was with me in the past, he will be with me now, today, right at this moment. In Steps to Christ, we have this beautiful quote. Let us look to the monumental pillars. If you think, I don't have an experience like that, Pastor Sam, let me tell you otherwise. Let us look to the monumental pillars, reminders of what the Lord has done to comfort us and to save us from the hand of the destroyer. Let us keep fresh in our memory all the tender mercies that God has shown us. The tears he has wiped away, the pains he has soothed, the anxieties removed, the fears dispelled, the wants supplied, the blessings bestowed. Thus, strengthening ourselves for all that is before us through the remainder of our pilgrimage. Has God been with you? Praise God. And these memorials that we experience, are they things we ought to share with others as well? Should we let people know God was with me back then when I had my Jordan moment, when I was about to cross over this beautiful river into the promised land? God was with me and he helped me. Amen? He brought me through. Is Jesus coming soon, brothers and sisters? Do you believe he's coming soon? Do you believe that God is wanting to see in his people a transformation of heart, mind, and soul, inviting us to trust him more, inviting us to say, God, I want to believe in you. I want to do what you're asking me to do. You are truly the living God. There is no other God before you or beside you. Is that something you want to believe and trust in? I want to. I believe he's coming. And at the same time, I see that my heart is wrestling with the things that happen around me. Verse 17 tells us that then the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Do we serve a powerful God? Does he have solutions to all of our problems? Is there anything that he cannot do? According to Scripture, there's nothing that God can't do. The only thing God will not do is go against our will. He respects us. He loves us. He will not force himself. Joshua chapter 5, and we finish with this, verse 1. You want to see what others were seeing and thinking? This is what others were seeing and thinking. Joshua chapter 5, verse 1 tells us, so it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. What did the nation see? Did the nation see God? They didn't see God. Did they see Joshua? They saw Joshua, and they saw this group of people called the children of Israel, and they saw them as being unstoppable. But why? Why were they unstoppable? Because they were strong? Because they were smart? Because they were resourceful? The Bible tells us because God was with them. Do you want God to be with you this year, brothers and sisters? I want God to be with me. I need him. I'll be praying for you, for God to be with you. Will you pray that God will be with me? I need him. I truly do. And I know God has a beautiful plan for this church, for the families in this church. He wants us all to be in the promised land, amen? And this is something that can happen if we continue to put our trust in him. Does Jesus want to be the captain of our life? He wants to be Joshua, the leader. He wants to bring us over all the difficulties and challenges that we might be facing. Praise God for his word. Amen? And I want to invite you, as we continue to walk together, to put our trust in the living God. The living God who is among you. Amen.